Von unten im Gespräch. Diskussionen, Interviews, Gesprächsrunden zu aktuellen Themen. Eine Sendung der Nachrichtenredaktion von Radio Helsinki.
Hallo, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer. Ihr hört von unten im Gespräch. Aus dem Studio begrüßt euch Lilly. Heute mit Mitschnitten aus einer Podiumsdiskussion zum Thema klimaschädliche Werbung. Es geht auch ohne. Die Podiumsdiskussion fand am 8. Februar im Forum Stadtpark statt. Veranstaltet wurde die Diskussion von der Initiative Graz ohne fossile Werbung. Die Veranstaltung wurde auf Englisch abgehalten. Die folgende Sendung ist daher auf Englisch.
Hello, dear listeners.
This is Lily.
Today we're broadcasting recordings from a panel discussion on banning fossil advertisement. On the panel are Jarla Pratt, representative of the Campaign Against Fossil Advertisement in the Netherlands, Reclame Fossilfree, and initiator of the platform worldwithoutfossilads.org, Werner Brutsch, head of the Environmental Office of the City of Graz, and Thomas Brudermann, climate psychologist at the University of Graz. Leonhard Rabensteiner moderates and represents the campaign Graz ohne fossile Werbung. But first of all, what even are fossil ads? Jarla Pratt from the Campaign Against Fossil Ads in the Netherlands explains their definition. She draws a comparison with the tobacco industry, where tobacco advertising was banned in 2007 as part of an EU directive.
So how we in the Netherlands with our campaign define fossil advertising is you could kind of group that as like fossil private transport. So cruise, flight, SUV or other types of gasoline cars and the fossil fuel industry. And with this, we mean the OMV, I hope I pronounced correctly, and BP and Shell. I think in our part of the world, they only make indeed advertising for the green 3% they do. And yeah, with the tobacco industry, we've seen if you only ban the product that you are against, then they will make ads for lighters. They actually did, because first only the product cigarettes was banned to advertise, and then they made ads on lighters, and they did a lot of sports sponsorship, just putting the company out there, making like a positive image for them. And that in the end has the same result. So for this industry that we know is very in its core misleading, they want their whole business model is oil and gas.
So these are oil companies like OMV, Shell or BP.
We say this whole industry should not be allowed to make ads anymore. Whereas some companies that sell holidays, they could in sometimes still change to selling holidays by train, for example. So there we say with those companies, we want to ban the product because they can still sell another product. But the companies that are just in oil and gas taking it out of the ground, they should just be out of question. No ads.
Why focus on fossil ads? What is so bad about them? Again, Jarla Pratt.
Fossil advertising and sponsorship, they really normalize fossil fuel companies and fossil, like high carbon products. And that is something I think we should try to get rid of in the urgency of the climate crisis that we are right now. Also, a lot of scientific reports now show that this is the case. So also the IPCC writes about that luxury things are perceived more as a necessity if they are, you know, abundantly available in advertising. And that's why maybe advertising regulation would be a good measure to do concerning climate change. And there are many reports that you can all look up on worldwithoutfossilads.org that actually say similar things.
But we can still ignore them, right? The head of the Environmental Office of the City of Graz, Werner Brutsch.
I think we have to make pressure and direction of the companies to change their products, of course. But on the other side, I have never seen the situation that someone with a gun stands behind a consumer that's going to the travel agency to buy a flight to Gran Canaria for 4 days. I have never seen this situation. And I have never seen the situation, a man with a gun behind a customer that goes to the shop where he buys an SUV. I don't see this situation. It's the own Entscheidung of each person.
In the end, it comes down to us individuals to make a decision. If we know a product is bad for the climate, then we don't have to buy it, right? Aren't we rational beings? Climate psychologist Thomas Brudermann explains.
Of course we are not, so this is the short answer. But I think even if we were super rational, we would find ourselves in a very paradox situation. On the one hand, we are being told, go green, protect the environment, save energy, be a better person for decades already. But then if we look at the bigger picture tells us something totally different. It tells us consume, pollute, and burn the hell out of fossil fuels. I had a recent experience. I was going to Vienna, and for going to the train station, I take the tram because I'm a pro-environmental person. But on the tram, of course, then I see advertising. And what I saw on this one tram ride was advertising for the best airline in the world, for cars, and for a sustainable single-use barbecue. So these are the things that I see, right? And the second situation where I also thought this is extremely paradox was when this ski race in Kitzbühel happened. You know, this legendary ski race where thousands of Austrians go there and millions watch on TV. And the nice thing is nowadays that we have this like this point of view, race perspective videos where you can really see what a racer sees. So what does a racer see in a sport that is heavily threatened by climate change? So he goes out, first he sees Audi advertising, like for the car. He even is wearing an Audi shirt. Then he passes by Liqui-Moly advertising, which is also some, I'm not sure, it's some additive for motors. It's also some fossil product. Then you are in the Red Bull part, and then again you come to the Audi and Liqui-Moly part. So this is... And Austrian Airlines was also there. Great, yeah. And this is a very paradox situation. And as a consumer who is maybe not reflecting all choices, what is the narrative you get, right? It's definitely not go green, although this might be a small part of the message.
Isn't it utopic to think of a world without fossil ads? Jolla Prad talks about the tobacco industry where a ban on ads has been successful and first wins are fossil-free advertising movements in the Netherlands and around the globe.
Don't we need the same as we did with tobacco? So for tobacco, it's actually forbidden to make ads or do sponsorship or even do lobbying. And of course, I know that they still have ways to do this. But when tobacco ads were banned, this really triggered the whole mindset shift, I would say, in how this product and how this industry is perceived. And that's kind of the founding idea of the fossil-free advertising movement in the Netherlands. And the first big win they had is when in Amsterdam in 2020 said, we actually want to get rid of these kind of fossil advertising. So for SUVs, for flights, for the fossil fuel industry like Shell and BP. And this was world news. There was not a city yet in the world that has said something like this before. And now with the website World Without Fossil Ads, we try to create a platform to show that there's already many cities in the world and many museums that cut ties with the fossil fuel industry, in universities that cut ties with the fossil fuel industry, sports events like the one you were talking about that are like, well, this is maybe a bit awkward to have a race that is so dependent on snow be sponsored by fossil fuel industry. So today, actually, my colleague was counting already 14 cities in the Netherlands have either passed a motion or, you know, stated in another way that they want to ban fossil ads. And that's almost 1 in 20 municipalities in the Netherlands and tens more around Europe, Austria, Sweden. Sorry, I always say Austria when I mean Australia. Australia. But also in Austria, there's a campaign. Yeah, so it's really like a snowball that keeps on rolling. And we really need that because the fossil fuel industry is also really dependent on their ads and sponsorship to still be as accepted as they are in our society.
Radio ist schon wichtig.
Von unten das Nachrichtenmagazin bei...
Wie heißt der? Radio Helsinki.
Auf 92,6. Von unten im Gespräch. Diskussionen, Interviews, Gesprächsrunden zu aktuellen Themen. Eine Sendung der Nachrichtenredaktion von Radio Helsinki.
Today with a panel discussion on fossil advertisement. On the panel are Jarla Pratt, representative of the Campaign Against Fossil Advertisement in the Netherlands, Reclame Fossilfree, and initiator of the platform worldwithoutfossilads.org, Werner Brutsch, head of the Environmental Office of the City of Graz, and Thomas Brudermann, climate psychologist at the University of Graz. Leonhard Rabensteiner moderates and represents the campaign Graz ohne fossile Werbung. So, municipalities and cities around the globe have already pledged to stop supporting fossil ads. What's the situation like in Graz? Leonhard Rabensteiner, co-founder of the Initiative Against Fossil Advertisement in Graz.
So, if we now look back to Graz, there are goals, of course, like internationally to go climate neutral. We have a climate production plan, which was published in 2022. If we have a look at that, we see a lot of measures, but advertisement is so far not described.
Leonhard Rabensteiner then goes on to talk about the fact that the city's measures to tackle greenhouse gas emissions focus on the production-based emissions instead of the consumption-based emissions, which are much higher. This means that the city of Graz focuses on measures that reduce the greenhouse gas emissions that are produced in Graz by factories, public transport, and things like that. However, these measures do not tackle the emissions that are caused by the consumption of goods that are imported to the city of Graz. With this exclusion, the city ignores where the lion's share of emissions come from.
In the year 2018, there were 1.52 million tons of CO2 equivalent in the city at production-based emissions. But in consumption-based emissions, it was more than the double, which is 3.9 million tons of CO2 equivalent.
The head of the Environmental Office, Werner Brutsch, answers to this that...
Of course, it's the truth that the consumer-based value is much more higher than the production-based value.
But the list of measures that the city can take against production-based emissions is much longer than the measures that could be taken against consumption-based emissions. Measures tackling the consumption-based emissions are also harder to implement than electrifying city buses, for example. One measure that the city could take to reduce the emissions that are caused by consumption is to ban fossil advertisement. Werner Brutsch on his opinion about the campaign.
My personal opinion is that I will sign this list because I think it's a very, very great problem if you make advertisements for weekend flights or short distance flights, for ship cruises, for buying SUVs. It's a very, very important topic.
But of course, implementing such a ban comes with challenges.
The city of Graz has an own advertisement company, the firma Ankünder. But a very important thing is this company Ankünder is not completely owned by the city of Graz, but only for two-thirds. 33% of this company are owned by other companies from Vienna and also from France. We had some discussions with the management, and I will tell you what their argumentation is. They say they are a private limited company and they have to make appropriate earnings. As the management refuses orders from customers, you must have a very good and accepted reason. There must be a change of the guidelines at first. Some reasons exist already. For example, if there is advertisement with a content of sexual or racist discrimination, they can refuse it, but there is no reason if it is connected with greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, if you want to ban such advertisement, you have to transform the social assessment of such themes. At first, we have to change the opinion of the majority of people in this direction, and then there is no problem for the managers to refuse such orders. That's their statement, and I think we have to take it into account.
Jarla Pratt.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to add that companies with shareholders don't make our laws and regulations. Right? So knowing that they will not be very happy about it shouldn't, I think, be a reason to not do it. Just a reminder to ourselves. But the thing is, when I started this job 2 years ago and I started noticing more and more of these fossil advertisings around me, I saw that actually all ads for cars, at least in the Netherlands, but I think in other places it's pretty similar, almost all of them are for SUVs. And this is the reason, of course, why they are getting normalized. More and more people want to buy them. I mean, they're more expensive. You have to pay more gasoline. It's not, if you just look economically at it, it's not a very good deal, maybe. But yeah, there's just a lot of status also involved in it and normalization because of advertising. And I think that's why also very interesting that the company that is doing the ads in Graz is saying like, yeah, we need social acceptance of these products needs to be lower and then we can ban the ads. But it's of course also the other way around. If you ban the ads, then the social acceptance will automatically be lower. Yeah. So that's the loop you're saying we should get out of. I think what I've seen with some other cities around the world that either they can speak out in a motion about that they want to do such a thing. They could make new regulations like advertising policy. They can set up a local law that says we don't want fossil ads anymore.
An audience member summarizes.
Maybe we shouldn't wait for the majority of people to get convinced, but make some regulatory measures.
Werner Brutsch, head of the environmental office in the city of Graz, highlights that Ankünder is not the only advertisement firm in Graz.
To this discussion about Ankünder, I think it's also an important aspect that's not the only company here in the city of Graz that makes advertisement. We have a former football president with his company, which is also working here. And it's a problem if Ankünder doesn't take certain claims if other companies do it. So how can you manage it?
Another audience member.
With the Ankünder, one should have, if the city is the owner, the city must have the courage to say, no, this is for ethical reasons. It's not possible. We don't allow this kind of advertisements in our public space.
Werner Brutsch on what the city could do.
There are two ways. The one way is the way of the free market, where the city is owner of one of these advertisement companies, and the other way is to regulate it by legislation. And I think we only can reduce advertisement or make regulations for every kind of advertisement. We can say there is no one of these pages to see, but we cannot regulate the kind of advertisement because we have no codex what is possible and what is not possible.
If Ankünder does not support fossil ads anymore, this obviously means losing some of the advertising money to other advertisement companies. Hill Jalabrad points out that the city of Graz could use other measures to make up for that income loss.
You could also look at other things. We just talked about it also in our pre-discussion that in Paris, they voted to make the parking fee for SUVs 3 times higher. And this was actually voted for by residents of Paris. And SUVs there are not only bad for the climate, they also pollute our airway more. If you get hit by them, the chance that you actually die is way higher. So there's also a lot of hidden costs, let's say, with this car. And I think also with these kinds of more maybe creative measures, the municipality could, of course, also increase their revenue from another side again, also taking into account what harmful product this actually is for the citizens of a city in which most cities in the world, you actually don't really need an SUV.
To the issue of how to formulate regulations, Jalabrad highlights that Graz can already build on the discussions held in other cities and municipalities.
There you have the big advantage that there's already many cities that had this discussion. Mm-hmm. Of course, we should have our own discussion here in Graz, like what would we want to ban first? I think flights, SUVs, cruises, that, as you said, are obvious, so maybe we start with those. But there's already many cities that had to formulate, of course, like what is exactly we're gonna ban, what do we write in this motion, and that is something I agree. How you can do it, how you can regulate it in every city in every country is very different. But for like a definition of what do you mean with fossil advertising, there are many examples I think from around the world.
To wrap up this topic, Thomas Brudermann and Charlotte Broad emphasized the important role cities like Graz can take in the banning of fossil advertisements.
And I think we need to be aware of the fact that city of Graz alone will not solve the entire problem, because we see already, like with the airport, also with different companies operating in the city. I mean, this also needs changes on higher levels, national level, maybe even European level. Yeah, it's always good to have like a pilot project or initiatives that come up locally. But in the end, many of the solutions will be on higher levels. But then how do they get there? I mean, they just don't appear magically, right? So they have to come from somewhere in the end. And therefore, these bottom-up initiatives are extremely important.
Yeah, our governments can change regulations of what is allowed and what not. And if you say there's multiple companies, then yeah, maybe it should be a policy for the whole city, or it should be a law. Maybe if Graz cannot do it, Graz can still speak out that they would like to, and that the province could maybe do something, that the country could maybe do something, that the EU should maybe do something. But already for the municipality to take a stand and say, we actually don't want to have these ads, we don't know exactly how we're going to do it yet, but we are willing to speak out about it, that already, I think, would be a huge signal.
But if regulations may need to be made at a higher level, why focus on cities and municipalities? Why do the campaigns not target the national level?
In the Netherlands, I think it's a bit similar as here, that I know your national government, our national government, they are not very progressive, but cities, they can really put an very good example of what can be done. And we now know in the Netherlands that now that we have already 14 cities, but it already started when we had 2 or 3 cities, that national governments start to pay attention, and other cities around the world as well. And this is also very important. And now we have 12 behavioral scientists actually in the Netherlands saying, if you don't ban fossil ads, so they wrote this report to the national government, then you cannot have a successful climate transition. It's essential part of it.
This freedom for everybody, or this freedom for everybody, or freedom for this freedom for everybody, or freedom for nobody.
Radio Helsinki. Freies Radio auf 92,6.
Von unten im Gespräch. Diskussionen, Interviews, Gesprächsrunden zu aktuellen Themen. Eine Sendung der Nachrichtenredaktion von Radio Helsinki.
Today with a panel discussion on fossil advertisement. On the panel are Charlotte Broad, representative of the Campaign Against Fossil Advertisement in the Netherlands, Reclame Fossilfree, and initiator of the platform worldwithoutfossilads.org, Werner Brutsch, head of the Environmental Office of the City of Graz, and Thomas Brudermann, climate psychologist at the University of Graz. Leonhard Rabensteiner moderates and represents the campaign Graz ohne fossile Werbung. We move on to the next topic. Leonhard Rabensteiner talks about freedom of speech.
Sometimes when we talk about this topic, some people say, but if you limit that, that means limiting of freedom of speech. Everybody should be allowed to advertise. If you have the money, then you should buy billboards as much as you want and put on there whatever you want. I mean, this is freedom. You should not take the freedom from us. Well, I'm a big fan of freedom, I have to say, and I am probably the last one who wants to limit freedom of speech. But I do think that we have to distinguish between the freedom of speech we have as individuals and the commercial communication which is targeting us. Because no company is putting information there to inform people. They want to buy the product which they are advertising.
Werner Brutsch on the definition of freedom.
I think we should not discuss about this aspect of freedom, because in every constitution, I think there is a limit for freedom. The limit is where you harm other people, so we should not talk about freedom. Sometimes ago, we had discussions about traffic limitations in the city, and a colleague from the federal Styrian government said, I cannot find one sentence in the Austrian constitution where you have the right to go 7 days a week and 24 hours with your car to every point in the country. There is no sentence in the constitution.
Climate psychologist Thomas Brudermann points out that it is important to change the narrative from one where we lose freedom to one where we gain freedom.
From a psychological perspective, of course, this is a very salient issue, right? If I have the feeling my freedom is taken away, I feel like I lose something. And my assumption is that the discourse is purposefully shifted towards such a direction, right? You make people afraid that they lose something, they lose freedom. But of course, freedom is relative, right? And what about my freedom to cycle through the city without being hit by a car that is too fast and too big? But in the discussion, maybe we have, I agree to Werner, we have to move away from this loss of freedom narrative. It's not a loss of freedom. Actually, we gain something, and we have to really stretch what we gain. As soon as we talk about losses and we cannot do this and that, we have to sacrifice, this is not working out. You will not win people for your cause with such, or only win few people for your cause with such a narrative.
Charlotte Brad from the Campaign Against Fossil Advertisements in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think maybe what about the freedom to think freely without companies putting their messages at us all the time? That's also a big good, I think, next to the freedom to health, which also, you know, triumphs the freedom of tobacco companies to advertise. I think we all agree here that that is a good reason to ban certain ads. And already now more people die from air pollution than from smoking. And that doesn't even include climate catastrophes. So, yeah, I think freedom to think freely, freedom to not get attacked almost by ads when you just walk in public space, I think is also something we could maybe communicate about. And I sometimes also think about, you know, there's a lot of people that cannot afford this lifestyle that is being put on us by advertising. And do they really feel free because these ads constantly show this successful life they cannot afford? I really wonder.
I see a glimpse of hope here, because the main problem, or one of the main problems, are social norms. Social norms are very important drivers for human behavior. So we do what others are doing, what we see others are doing, what we think others approve of. And very often when we used social norms in environmental campaigns in the past decades, I would say, then these norms were consumption-based. It was about trying to shift norms of consumption. But shifting consumption and shifting behaviors comes at a, we say, high behavioral cost for the individual. I, as an individual, have to change something. It's normally not very popular. But now, with this ban fossil fuel campaigns, we go into a different direction. We go into so-called anti-fossil fuel norms, which kind of shifts the responsibility away from individuals towards companies, towards polluting companies. And the good thing with these anti-fossil fuel norms is that they come with low behavioral costs. So it's very easy for people to be against fossil fuels because they, or at least say they are against fossil fuels, because this is not difficult, right? And therefore, I believe that public acceptance of banning cars might not be high. But public acceptance of stopping advertising for cars probably is much higher. And therefore, I think that such campaigns are a very important door opener, right? It's not the overall solution, obviously, but it's a very important part of solution because it addresses the overall narrative.
I think it's interesting that you say about the public support. There's one thing here that I wrote down and I wanted to say still, that there's European Consumer Protection Agency, there's also one in Austria, and they did a survey in 16 countries on this topic, actually, and Austria was also included. And there they found that almost 40% of people are in favor of a total ad ban for fossil fuel companies already now. And less than 3% of people are able to distinguish greenwashing from, you know, actual green advertising at all times. And 80% of people think that companies that do greenwashing deserve very high fines. So I think already, I think a lot of people are more and more aware of these things. It's not anymore some small group of people saying we want to ban certain advertising because we feel these products are not good. We're not saying people cannot fly. We're not saying people cannot buy cars. We're just saying we're in a crisis. Let's not extra promote these polluting products anymore, because to be honest, who likes ads anyway? Right? No one will be sad if some ads will be gone, I think. people have a strong feeling about that their freedom is being, taken away or something. But I would argue it's actually larger freedom if companies cannot just buy their space into your head, let's say. And I'd say, indeed, we should start with the worst ones, with the SUVs, with the flights. Everyone knows. Why should we still promote extra pollution if we're in this situation?
You're listening to
Radio Helsinki.
Weil wenn du viel
Radio Helsinki
hörst, dann fängst du an, anders zu denken. Verstehst du? Das bringt deinen Kopf schon ein bisschen durcheinander.
Radio Helsinki.
Bringing you the truth in the form of
99,6. Von unten im Gespräch. Diskussionen, Interviews, Gesprächsrunden zu aktuellen Themen. Eine Sendung der Nachrichtenredaktion von Radio Helsinki.
Today with a panel discussion on fossil advertisement. On the panel are Jarla Pratt, representative of the Campaign Against Fossil Advertisement in the Netherlands, Reclame Fossilfrei, and initiator of the platform worldwithoutfossilads.org, Werner Brutsch, head of the Environmental Office of the City of Graz, and Thomas Brudermann, climate psychologist at the University of Graz. Leonhard Rabensteiner moderates and represents the campaign Graz ohne fossile Werbung. Leonhard Rabensteiner opens the discussion to the audience.
I would have a question regarding the case in Amsterdam. Could you tell us maybe a bit about the concrete steps you did undertake in order to reach the ban? And maybe also tell us what were the key elements in your opinion?
Jarla Brad from the Initiative in the Netherlands answers to this.
Yeah, so just one disclaimer, I didn't work yet for this campaign when this started in Amsterdam. And maybe another disclaimer, Amsterdam still didn't ban all fossil ads to this day. So that's why I say already for a city to speak out that they would like to, and they're going to look into how this can be done, already made so many headlines that campaigns like ours now exist in Australia and South Africa and other places in Europe. But what it came down to, I think, the city of Amsterdam, like Raad, is a progressive city government. They said we want to use the donut economy to, you know, make policy plans for our city. And then the people that were active at the fossil free advertising campaign, they made a statement, like a letter, that a lot of different organizations and also companies and famous people could sign. And they brought this to the Amsterdam City Board. And they lobbied with certain political parties. So in the Netherlands, the Green Party, the Social Democrats, the Animal Party, the one of the Christian parties. I don't know exactly how to explain. We have multiple. and also some other left-wing parties, they have it also in their political program now. And this also makes it easier to, for example, then talk to councils and say like, well, the majority of this council actually is already in favor. This we didn't have yet in Amsterdam because it was the first city. But yeah, they just talked a lot with politicians. They're like the council members there, put on pressure from different sides, thinking about if there's one party they would still need to convince, what groups around them could they maybe mobilize to talk to that political party about it. Yeah. And in the end, that made it work. They were also pioneering. They were not really sure what they were actually getting themselves into because, as I said, to this point, fossil ads are not banned in Amsterdam. They made a voluntary agreement for the metro, but I sometimes take the metro and I don't really see it. And they also started with things like, okay, we're going to talk with the companies that sell the ads. You know, JCDecaux is very big in the Netherlands and all over the world. And yeah, there we learned that these steps, you can kind of skip them in other cities because they are not going to voluntarily do it. And that's why now pushing for cities to accept a motion that they speak out that they want to do it. We're also trying to have a first city in the Netherlands, Zwolle. It's not a very big city or very known city. That's going to change their local law. So cities in the Netherlands can write regulations about where you can park or all kinds of things. Also on advertising. There are some very Christian cities that actually banned ads for women that are not dressed a lot. Yeah. So if there's political will, you can ban certain ads. And Zwolle is now the first city in the Netherlands that actually says they want to change the law, and they are in this process now. And that would also mean that you don't have to wait for the contracts to be finished, because in the Netherlands the contracts sometimes are 10 years. So if they sign today, like, they're stuck with it until 2034. And it would go into effect immediately. So, yeah, in Amsterdam it was really pioneering, just trying many different things. And now from this experience we know you don't really have to talk to the company. They don't want to do it voluntarily. If they want to do it voluntarily, this is something we've seen also, and maybe something to be aware of in Graz as well, is that the company would say, okay, well, maybe I could ban fossil ads, but then the municipality should give me more digital screens in the city to put my other ads out. And, well, digital screens are not only more harmful because they show you more ads per second, kind of, but they also use the same amount of energy as three households, just one normal bus-sized screen, let alone like the big ones. So, yeah, what actually was the big success behind Amsterdam? I cannot really say that it's this one thing or this other thing. I think the most important thing with this kind of new things is that you try to gather a coalition of many different stakeholders, maybe cultural institutions or, you know, sports clubs that say, we actually also want our municipality to do this. And I think that in the end convinced them. But yeah, it helps, of course, that they are already a progressive government. But I think in Graz, you have that as well. So
another audience member contests this and confronts the head of the environmental office, Werner Butsch, with the paradoxical awarding of the EcoPerfect program. As an example, in 2023, the airport of the city of Graz was awarded the so-called EcoPerfect-Preis for the 25th time. Among others, the airport was recognized for its switch to LED light bulbs and the addition of 12 electric cars into the vehicle fleet. Another EcoPerfect-Preis in 2023 went to Magna, Fahrzeugtechnik GmbH, whose main business is indeed the development and manufacture of automobiles. Werner Butsch answers.
You mentioned the EcoPerfect program. We had many discussions about it, if we should take an absolute or a relative scale, how to see these companies. If you take an absolute scale, you have really a problem in Styria, because then you can ban all the car factories and other companies. You can ban the Andritz company for building water facilities in critical situations, etc., etc. And then you have a severe discussion about our going on in economic things.
But I would say
I'm not happy about these certifications, but I don't know the alternative.
Another audience member.
That's the point. Because in the beginning you said the city of Graz is in a good direction, and we all want to go to so-called climate neutrality. To me, that it's not nice what I'm saying now, but it reminds me of Zeno Cosini, the story by Italo Svevo. It's about a guy who always wants to stop smoking. And there's one sentence, I think, in the novel. The wish to stop smoking became a lifelong passion for him. And my impression is just the same. It's of course, if you want to decarbonize Graz, there is no place for cars in the airport. And 2 years ago, I read an article about electric cars on the airport region. And as well, I think Judith Schwentner, or one of the Greens and one of the Communists, were there to congratulate these people that they can now use electric cars on the airport. And I think this is not... the sad thing is not only that this is greenwashing. The sad thing is that they probably didn't even remark it, because they are so used to these forms of minor changes that they don't see the big picture. And of course, it's maybe weird to say, but a company as Andritz, with their track records of destruction of environment, has no place in a so-called green city. They must change. Mm-hmm. And there was an action against the car company,
Magna.
Against Magna, that they must change their products and really do other products. There is no other way. It will not work this in this smooth minor changes motivate the people a bit better. That doesn't work. In that case, you can also say we can just do nothing.
We're heading towards a climate crisis. Doing nothing is definitely not our best option. So maybe it is time to have this serious discussion. Another audience member points out that if we think to campaign against fossil ads further, we would soon end up with more fundamental questions.
Like what to do with the airport and how to shut it down, what to do with all these factories in Graz, and basically all the businesses are somehow aligned to the fossil industry. I mean, as you said, we would end up in a very serious discussion, but on the other hand, I mean, we're really heading towards like a climate catastrophe. Like, wouldn't that be like a good moment maybe to start a really serious discussion of what to do with all these really unsustainable businesses and anything? Like, shouldn't we do that?
That was Von Unten im Gespräch, today with a panel discussion on fossil advertisement. The show was moderated by Lily. Thanks for tuning in. In the studio now with me is Coco from the Von Unten team. We're switching back to German. Coco, du hast mit Leonhard Rabensteiner gesprochen und gefragt, wie es mit der Kampagne Graz ohne fossile Werbung aussieht. Was gibt es Neues?
Nun das Update zu unserer Kampagne. Die von unserem Verein werbefrei organisierte Petition Graz ohne fossile Werbung erreichte bis zu ihrem Ende am 18. Februar 2024 insgesamt 649 Stimmen. Diese werden der zuständigen Vizebürgermeisterin Judith Schwendner am 17. April überreicht und die Anliegen persönlich vorgetragen. Unserer Meinung nach ist die Stadt beim Klimaschutz in einigen Bereichen durchaus ambitioniert. Allerdings hat sie in manchen Bereichen noch Luft nach oben. So fokussiert sich der Klimaschutzplan der Stadt auf produktbasierte Emissionen. Das sind Emissionen, die direkt von der Stadt unter stehenden Instanzen produziert werden. Beispiele dafür sind etwa Autobusse im Stadtverkehr. Die konsumbasierten Emissionen, die durch den Verbrauch der BewohnerInnen durch deren Kaufverhalten entstehen, kommen jedoch nur am Rande vor. Außerdem fehlen hierfür noch Vorschläge für konkrete Maßnahmen. Genau hier könnte der Wegfall von Anreizen durch Werbung für klimaschädliche Produkte, wie zum Beispiel Autos, Flüge oder Kreuzfahrten, viel ausmachen. Und das, ohne dass dabei Kosten für die Stadt entstehen. Nicht ohne Grund ist die starke Reduktion von Werbung für klimaschädliche Produkte eine der Forderungen des Klimarates. Die erreichten Unterschriften sehen wir mit einem weinenden und lachenden Auge. Auf den ersten Blick ist die Zahl nicht sonderlich hoch und wir wollten zuerst auch mehr erreichen. Andererseits ist unser Anliegen für viele neu und wir haben gemerkt, dass fast niemand ein Bewusstsein für die Auswirkungen der Werbung hat. Außerdem haben wir den Eindruck gewonnen, dass viele Personen die Arbeit von der Stadtregierung als gut bis sehr gut einschätzen. Damit geht einher, dass die Bereitschaft, eine Petition zu unterschreiben, aktuell sehr gering ist. Dass das Thema überhaupt einmal in der Öffentlichkeit diskutiert wird, ist schon ein kleiner Erfolg.
Aus dem Studio verabschieden sich
Coco
und Lilly. Wir hören uns.
Das war Von Unten im Gespräch. Eine Sendung der Nachrichtenredaktion von Radio Helsinki.